When I was praying with the readings this week, a recurring thought of my dear old Aunt Madge kept coming to mind. She used to say something that I'm sure some of you, many of you, have heard already. She used to always say, "The squeaky wheel gets the grease." And the reason I thought of that was because in these readings, my first thought was sort of oriented toward this idea of prayer and the value of prayer. In the first reading, however, when the people are complaining, squeaking, to Moses, Moses goes to God and God provides a resolution. It's quite simple. It's almost too simple. It just seems too easy. In the gospel, however, there's sort of an illustration of some of the challenges necessary in a healthy, positive prayer life. In the woman's encounter with Jesus, at first, she really doesn't get it, right? She's asking Jesus about water, and she's thinking about the water in the well and the earthly water, and she's not really recognizing what Jesus is telling her. Even the disciples don't get it. And the people in the village, the Samaritan people in the village, sort of illustrate to us what's necessary in order for prayer to really bear fruit. It's an encounter. It takes time. It's about relationship. And so I want to challenge all of us this morning to think about what our prayer life is like. I'm not here to disparage intercessory prayer. I think it's really valuable for us to turn to God and to turn to the intercession of the saints to ask for things, to ask for healing, for health, for prosperity, for peace. But I want to suggest to you that that's not enough in terms of the prayer. We need to have a much deeper level of communication and relationship with our God. And that's not easy at all. That's very difficult. The reason for that is because, as you know, I'm sure you've experienced times where you felt like you were praying an intercessory prayer, asking for healing or asking for something to go a certain way, and perhaps God's response to that prayer wasn't what you were expecting. Sometimes that happens, and there really isn't an explanation that I could think of as to why it happens that way. But I want to suggest to you that the nature of prayer that is contemplative, that is building relationship with God by learning more about God, by challenging ourselves to be more God-like, that is a much more fruitful prayer, because what it does is it empowers us to be able to accept in faith and in hope those moments where things aren't going the way we expect them to go or the way we want them to go. And so this morning, I want to challenge you to think about how it is that you pray, especially in this season of Lent, because this season is an opportunity for us to really focus on the transformation that prayer has to offer us. In the gospel, the encounter that the woman had with Jesus, the encounter that his apostles have, the encounter that the people of the village, the Samaritan people in the village have, all turns out to be a transformative encounter. They come away from meeting Jesus differently and better. And that's what we're called to do in our prayer life. So in this season of Lent, our focus is really on repentance, which literally means turning another way, turning our way and our orientation towards God. And that is so important. This is the best place to do it, because this is the place where we recognize God and God's presence in a very real and special way. But this place is only the beginning. We have to take what we experience in this place and carry it with us. In fact, I would suggest to you that what we do here is supposed to transform us into a deeper image and likeness of God, so that when we leave this place, the presence of God is within us. And as we encounter other people, they will have the opportunity to encounter God through us. And that's the real challenge of prayer. Prayer is, it's an important aspect of intercession, asking God for things, asking God for his assistance. But contemplative prayer is prayer where we have to ask ourselves, are we being honest in our relationship with God? Are we recognizing our failures? Are we recognizing our greatness? And using both of those things to encounter God more richly and more deeply. And then, after that, are we allowing ourselves to be transformed through that experience so that we can become even more like God? That's what happens here in the Eucharist. But this is only the beginning. When we go forth from here, we have to go forth believing in ourselves, because God resides in us. And if we can believe that God resides in us, it makes it easier for us to recognize God residing in others.